السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School doing this is the Quranic Studies class and it is about the name of Allah Al-Quddus, the Holy, the Infinitely Pure or the Source of Purity. So let's hear a video clip. Let's see a video clip about this name, Al-Quddus.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Welcome all to the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're looking at a name which goes by Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus means the pure one. Al-Quddus means the perfect one. Al-Quddus is a name. In order for us to understand this name, we should understand another word that is similar, but not the same as Al-Quddus. And that is the word At-Tasbih. Every single time we do At-Tasbih, every single time we say Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, whenever we're using the word Subhan and we are referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are describing the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does the word Subhan mean? Sabaha means to swim. Sabaha yasbahu, and then a pool is called a masbah, right? So, Sabaha.
Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوا بِهَا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most beautiful names. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those beautiful names. And we've been talking about the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As much as we talk about the names of Allah azza wa jalla, we'll never fulfill the rights of those names. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our imagination. And His attributes are also beyond our imagination. And one of the beautiful names of Allah azza wa jalla that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had attributed to Himself, Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus, the Holy One. What does Al-Quddus mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. That everything in the heavens, everything on earth, all glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The King, Al-Malik, the Holy One, Al-Quddus. So what's Al-Quddus? When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Quddus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Holy One, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above. Allah Azza wa Jal is above the perception and the concept of the creation. That's why He's the Holy One. He is the Holy One and He is the only Holy One. And everyone else is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you can refer to Allah Azza wa Jal, or you refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Malik, but you can also refer to the creation of Allah as the Malik. But when it comes to the Quddus, this is a name that's only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the only Quddus. So we can't call the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal or any person on the face of this earth, regardless how powerful, superior they are in this world, you can't call them the Quddus. The Quddus is only Allah, the Holy One. Why? Because Allah is the only perfect one. And when you say the word Quddus, you are implying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect one, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any defects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any shortcomings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any weaknesses. That's why He is the Quddus, the Holy One. He is the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Lord. He is the King. And He is also the Quddus, the Holy One. So Al-Quddus, which means the Lord of the universe, the most perfect one, the most complete one, the one that's so strong and no weaknesses, the one that's so powerful and no shortcomings. And that's what we believe as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the concept of mankind. Mankind and all the creation of Allah azza wa jal have weaknesses. They have shortcomings, they have faults in them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the concept of weakness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the concept.
Okay. Today we're going to be doing the name of Allah. the name of Allah al-Quddus. Okay? It is mentioned in the Quran twice. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr.
He is Allah, than whom there's no other God, the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, Peace, the Keeper of Faith, the Guardian, the Majestic, the Compeller, the Superb. Glorified be Allah from all that they ascribe as partner unto Him.
And also described in Surah Al-Jum'ah. The name is used in Surah Al-Jum'ah.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth glorifieth Allah, the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, the Mighty, the Wise.
As you can see in the translation, they are saying the Holy One. So, and I will explain exactly what they mean by the Holy One. The word Al-Quddus means pure of need, pure of being contained in a place, pure of all our imagination, pure of any imperfection, source of purity. He himself is the purity itself. He is the absolute purity, and he is pure, and he is the purity itself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the one whom we seek purity to. We purify ourselves seeking to get closeness to Allah, because he is the pure. Here, he is the pure, and the more purity you have, the closer you get to him. The less purity to have, the further away from him. So when you increase your purity, you purify yourself, you come here closer and closer. Okay. It's similar to the name As-Salam, the flawless, but it has its own meaning, which is the purity itself. Now, it is the one we perform taqdis to. The Jannah is called the land of Quds, because it is free from all imperfection. And Angel Jibreel is called Ruh al-Qudus, the Holy Spirit, because he is pure from making mistakes or replacing the text or cheating or anything like that, or not doing the job. He's pure from that. Okay. When Allah talks about taqdis, look what happened when Allah was about to create Adam on the earth. He announced it. He made the announcements to the angels. I'm creating a man on earth. And guess what was the response of the angels? They said,
"And when thy Lord said unto the angels, Lo, I am about to place a viceroy in the earth," they said, "Wilt thou place therein one who will do harm therein and will shed blood, while we hymn thy praise and sanctify thee?" He said, "Surely I know that which ye know not."
وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ
So the... They are translating it in a different manner. Let's see here what this translation is.
Remember, when your Lord said to the angels, "I am going to create a deputy on the earth," they said, "Will you create the one who will spread disorder on the earth and cause bloodshed, while we proclaim your purity, along with your praise, and sanctify your name?" He said, "Certainly, I know what you know not."
So basically, that was the response of Allah. I know what I'm doing, and I know things that you don't know. You might find out later, but for now, you don't know things for, you don't know the wisdom now. You will see the wisdom later. Now, creating a debut on earth means creating a representation on earth. A representation on earth, a man or a creation, a man who is going to make the beautiful names of Allah rule the earth. Allah has names of beauty and names of greatness. The names of beauty are the manners that Allah would like us to follow. He's kind, he wants us to be kind. He's merciful, he wants us to be merciful. He is generous, he wants us to be generous. Okay? And he wants us to implement his names of beauty on earth. So when people see us, they remember Allah because we are implementing the names of Allah on earth. Okay? So that's our mission, Khalifa, a representative of the names of beauty in Allah. The names of beauty are the ones that Allah's, that are describing the manners of Allah, generosity, kindness, forgiveness, and all of these beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created the humans on earth because he wants us to present his manners on earth, manners coming from the names of beauty on earth. He wants us to make them controlling principles. The life he trusted, or he wants the humans to make these manners and implement these manners in the land of reality. Okay. So they said, the response said, okay, they said, we glorify you and doing taqdis to you. We're doing taqdis to you. Nuqaddis, we're doing taqdis to you. Okay, means that we are purifying ourselves to come closer to you. And the way you the angels purify themselves is by declaring the purity of Allah. When they declare the purity of Allah, okay, they are getting closer to Allah. They purify themselves to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we can use, there's a question here. The angel said, when Allah gave them the news of creating a human, the angels say, would you create someone there who's going to... Are you going to create there someone, a creation that would shed blood, and spread corruption? The question is, how did the angels find out that the humans are going to shed blood and cause corruption? Before the humans were created, how did they figure it out? And the answer to that is that they have observed the jinn. The jinn were created before humans, and they were given freedom of choice as well, like us, and they were under the control of their, and they have temptations and lower desires and all of these things that we have. And they went all corrupt. With time, they all became corrupt, and there was no single jinn that was not corrupt and evil. Okay, and they used to eat each other. Basically, the big jinn will swallow the small jinn and take away his life and take away everything he has or she has. So just like a big fish is swallowing a small fish, sort of. And they used to be very aggressive, very mean, very brutal with themselves, with their own fellow jinn. So Allah sent an army from the angels. Allah sent an army made of the angels to fight those jinn and trap them into the vacant areas of the oceans where nobody's there. And then they took the chief jinn, which is Iblis, Iblis is the Satan, Lucifer, I guess. They called him Christian tradition Lucifer. They took Lucifer into heaven to stay with the angels, and then he, etc., etc., to the end of the story, that he started living like an angel and started copying angels. They honored him, and then he continued worshiping Allah because he loved the owner, and etc., to the end of the story. But anyway, this is how the angels find out that the humans are going to just be no better than jinn, and they're going to spread corruption and shed blood, which is exactly what we see. The name Al-Quddus is used in dua. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, Subuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. Subuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. He used to make this supplication to Allah. Okay? The people and the Christian traditions call themselves saints, which is in Arabic they call it Quddus, Qadasa, Qadasa, or Qadasa or Quds, Qadasa or Quds. But to describe a saint as Qadasa is not right, because it's like basically you're saying that to the saint, you're saying you're a holy one, which is not right in Islam. Now, tazkiya is cleaning. Taqdis is purification. Tazkiya is cleaning. Okay? The difference between them is that, let me show you this scale here. Okay, this is a purity scale, and this is the scale here. Allah is the infinitely pure. His purity is infinite. Okay, that's Allah. On the other hand, the shaitan is negative 100%. He's not negative infinity. He's negative 100%. There's no infinity other than Allah. So it's not appropriate for shaitan to be negative infinity. He is negative 100%. Okay? And the positive 100%, the angels are 100%, above 100%. The angels' purity is above 100%. Humans' purity is, or the purity of humans range from negative 100%, which basically acting like Satan's or being a human Satan, or all the way to 100%, which means a perfect human, perfect humans, perfect men and women. Okay? So Allah's infinitely pure. Shaitan is negative 100% pure, which is the opposite of pure. And 100% is the boundary that separates the angels from the humans. Angels are more than 100%. And Allah's infinity. So the more purity you achieve, the closer you get to Allah. The closer you get to Allah, the more purity. The less purity, the more further away from Allah you get. Now, purifying yourself is good for the angels. Okay, we cannot do taqdis. Angels can do taqdis. Okay, angels can do purification. We do something else. We do called tazkiyah, which is means cleaning. Okay, so increased purity means tazkiyah, cleaning, because we have corruption and desires, temptation, desires. We need to clean ourselves. Angels don't have these things, so they don't need to clean. They need to purify themselves, or they are purifying themselves. While we are attempting to do tazkiyah, which is cleaning ourselves. And depending on our cleanness, we could range from 100%, which is perfect men and women, or we can end up with negative 100%, which is the Satan. Or in between, if you get 0%, which means like you're not good and or bad, you're in the middle, those are the people of Al-A'raf. The people of Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf is a mountain between Jannah and Hell. And the people of Al-A'raf are people who score 50-50. Like they have 0% purity. And 0% cleaning, actually. So now those people, 0%, that's their fault. That's the thing that they did wrong. Their penalty is going to stay on a mountain between heavens and hell, and this mountain is called the mountain of Al-A'raf. This mountain is called the mountain of Al-A'raf, and this mountain, they are going to stay on this mountain, and they will be able to see the people of hell and the people of Jannah. And there is a picture here that we can see regarding this. People of Al-A'raf. Yes, here. There is a people of Al-A'raf. This is a mountain between heaven and hell. The people of Al-A'raf, they stay on the top of this mountain, seeing the people of hell, getting scared to death, seeing the people of Jannah, and get so much desire to go in there. And at the very end, at the end of the Day of Judgment, Allah would send them to Jannah. But their punishment, penalty, is going to be waiting on this mountain until the end of the Day of Judgment. So that's the people of Al-A'raf, 0% here. You clean yourself with good deeds, you reach to perfection, you demean yourself, or you engage, surrender yourself to evil temptations and lower desires, then you keep declining down until you reach to the shaitan level, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, that Allah has jinn shayateen and shayateen from jinn kind and shayateens from humans. Some humans are shayateen. Shayateen are learning sometimes from the evil humans. Some people are as evil as a shaitan because they do what the shaitan is doing and exceed the shaitan as well. Okay, so now there are perfection. There are, the Prophet ﷺ said, many men have achieved the level of perfection, but only four women achieved the levels of perfection so far. There was, he named those four perfect women, Khadija, Asiya, Imra'ata Fir'aun, Asiya, the wife of the Pharaoh, Maryam, alayhi salam, Mary, and the Khadija, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Fatima is the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those were able to achieve the level of perfection. So they are plus 100%. Now, Allah mentioned the tazkiya for the humans in Surah Ash-Shams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
and a soul and him who perfected it and inspired it with conscience of what is wrong for it and what is right for it. He is indeed successful who causeth it to grow, and he is indeed a failure who stunteth it.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shams is saying that he is, he is successful, the one who does tazkiyah. The one who does tazkiyah to himself or herself, they are the successful ones. See? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who caused it to the one who cleaned it. Well, a better translation is to say the one who cleaned it, who cleans his soul, because that's the meaning of the word zakkah. We also have in Surah Al-A'la as well, the word قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, which is verse 14, about cleaning. You clean yourself.
He is successful who groweth.
Successful who groweth, which means zakkaha. That's translation of zakkaha. Tazki.
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ.
Success is surely achieved by him who purifies himself and pronounces the name of his Lord, then offers.
So pronounces, purifying is more appropriate for angels, but because they don't have dirt, they don't have something to clean. But for us, cleaning or tazkiyah, that's what we need because we have dirt. Taqdis is not achievable by us because that's really for the angels. We are only able to do tazkiyah, which is cleaning, okay? So, how the angels are doing tazkiyah, the taqdis, there's an example of an angel, okay? Basically, they declare the purity of Allah. So there is an angel who wanted Allah to give him. He said, Ya Allah, give me 70,000 wings and 70,000 years, so that I can circulate your throne, making taqdis to you, or like declaring your purity. So Allah gave him what he asked for. After the end of the 70,000 years, he came and he said, Subhanaka, Subhanaka. He could not cross from the throne of Allah a distance. So the distance that he crossed on the throne of Allah to the throne of Allah is like a coin in a desert. Was the throne was so humongous that he was able to cross a very small part of it in the 70,000 years using 70,000 wings. 70,000 wings means extremely fast. 70,000 years means very long life. Using this very, by the way, the Arabs used the number 7 to express that something is big. So the Prophet Muhammad said, I make istighfar 70 times. 70 times mean expression that it's a big, or 700 or 7,000 or 70,000. It's literally, not literally, but it's large number. Basically, it means like infinity, basically. Sort of infinity, limited, very large number. So he could not achieve the taqdis around the entire throne. He only finished an area of the throne equal to the area he finished from the throne, circulating the throne, making taqdis to Allah. This area is relative to the area of the throne, is like a coin relative to a desert. So Jannah is a place that has three things to make it perfect. These three things that make it perfect, because Jannah is the house of Quds, is the Quds house, that's Jannah. And there's also the Quds, which is the city Jerusalem. Jerusalem in Arabic is called Quds because it has the holy places for both Christian, for all, for Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Okay, so the pleasures in Jannah, the pleasures in Jannah that makes it different than earth, makes it pure, the place of Quds, the Quds, the place of Quds, is that number one, is that it's everlasting. Everlasting. So nobody is worried about when is the end of the Day of Judgment. You might say, you might say, okay, to yourself when you're in Jannah. You might say, okay, if I'm going to stay, if you're told you're going to stay in Jannah 50 million years, then you start worrying and you say, okay, what happens after the 50 million years are over? That becomes a source of concern, especially in Jannah where you don't have any other concerns to worry about. So it's a luxury concern to worry about what's going to happen in 50 million years. But to even free yourself from this worry, Allah said Jannah is eternal. You don't have to worry about that you would ever come to an end. There will be no ending for the Jannah, time spent in Jannah. That's the first thing. Second thing, you never get bored. Here, if you go to a place that you love, let's say a resort in Hawaii, for example, you go one time, two times, three times, you start getting bored, basically. Well, I've been here many times. I want to explore something new. So in Jannah, you don't get bored at all because it's always new. Every day, the Jannah changes its clothes, which means that the Jannah changes its the style, the colors, the arrangements. Every day, there's something new to do. So much entertainment activities, and entertainment activities are more exciting every day. It gets more exciting every day. The entertainment objects, the entertainment furniture, the entertainment food, everything is new every day. And as Allah said, it has things that nobody ever imagined. No eye has ever seen, no people, no mind has ever imagined, and no mind and no one could, and فيها ما لا عين رأت, it has things that no eye has ever seen, عين رأت وأذن سمعت, and an ear never heard of, unheard of, ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and the mind will never imagine what's going on there. And the common things between the apples in Jannah, for example, the apples in Jannah and the apples of earth, what is common between them is just the name, apple. But it's going to be a totally different apple than the one you used to. Okay, it's just going to be called an apple, yes, but it's going to be a different apple. The wine, the only common things between the wine in this life and the wine in Jannah is just the name wine. But the wine in Jannah is totally different, has totally different meaning, or totally different, reality than the wine in this life. So this is why Quds place, the Quds land, or Jannah is the Quds land, or the Quds place is Quds. So we said, number one, no boring, number two, no end, and actually should be number one, which is the most joy in Jannah, is to look at the face of Allah. And this is why the elite group of believers are closer to Allah. They get to see the face of Allah much more often than the people, the average people who in Jannah are the average people in Jannah will see the Jannah of the elites, like the way we look at the stars right now. Stars are so far away from us. The people, the elite group, Jannah is going to be look to us like the stars now. They are so high and so far away from us and so much above us that we will be able to see them the way we see the stars now. So the best joy in the elite group is that they get to see Allah more often. And the other group, the average group, they get invited every once in a while to see Allah. The most pleasure in Jannah is seeing the face of Allah. That is the top pleasure. To the level that if the people of hellfire, on the bottom layer of hellfire, the worst, the people receiving the worst, most severe punishment, if they get to see the name, the face of Allah, they will completely forget and they will enjoy. They will enjoy it to a level that it will eliminate any pain and suffering they are going through. They are going to enjoy their life just by being able to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mountain of Al-A'raf, as we mentioned, for the people who scored 0%, Allah is telling us the story of the people who scored 0%, which means they have good deeds and bad deeds equal to each other. There is a surah that names, Surah Al-A'raf, that names after the mountain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٍ, so it's verse 46 to 51. That tells the story of the people of Al-A'raf, that when they stay there and they look at the people of hellfire, they get so scared. They look at the people of Jannah, they get so much desire to get in there.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them all by their marks. And they call unto the dwellers of the garden.
The A'raf mountain is translated here, the heights. The heights, okay? They are translated the heights. Well, they need to translate it, but it is called the mountain of Al-A'raf. That would be a better translation. Let me see if this translation is going to be better.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them.
Between the two groups there will be a barrier. And on Araf, the heights, there shall be people who will recognize each group.
Al-A'raf.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them all by their marks. And they call unto the dwellers of the garden, peace be unto you. They enter it not, although they hope to enter. And when their eyes are turned toward the dwellers of the fire, they say, our Lord, place us not with the wrongdoing.
And then the people of Al-A'raf are going to call on the people of hellfire. And they are going to remind them of what they used to do in this life to make them feel sorry.
And the dwellers on the heights call unto men whom they know by their marks, saying, what did your multitude and that in which ye took your pride avail you? Are these they of whom ye saw that Allah would not show them mercy?
They are telling them, are these the weak people who went to Jannah and the poor people who went to Jannah, where the Arab lords used to look down into them and think of them like bugs, sort of. And so the people of the Allah is, those people of Al-A'raf on the mountain of the Al-A'raf are calling to them, to the lords, telling them, hey, those are the people that you said that Allah's not going to give them mercy, show them mercy.
Unto them it hath been said, enter the garden, no fear shall come upon you. And the dwellers on the heights call unto men whom they know by their marks, saying, what did your multitude and that in which ye took your pride avail you? Are these they of whom ye saw that Allah would not show them mercy? Unto them it hath been said, enter the garden, no fear shall come upon you, nor is it ye who will grieve. And the dwellers of the fire cry out unto the dwellers of the garden, pour on us some water or some of that wherewith Allah hath provided you. They say, lo, Allah hath forbidden both to disbelievers in His guidance. Who took their religion for a sport and pastime, and whom the life of the world beguiled. So this day we have forgotten them even as they forgot the meeting of this day, and as they used to deny our tokens.
The opposite of taqdis is to worship the life on this world, which means that to worship the lives on this world, it means that you think that you live your life as though there is no God, there is no Allah. He didn't send any messengers. He didn't send any Quran. He doesn't have a job for us like Khalifa, like he said in Surah Al-Baqarah, to the angels, I'm creating Khalifa on earth, representative of my manners on earth. That a person who's or a human who's ordered to represent my manners on earth. Okay. Opposite to that is to ignore Allah, ignore why did He create us, ignore His Quran, and we live our lives based on our whims and desires and temptations and what causes pleasure to us regardless if it's good or bad, and what causes pain to us regardless if it's good or bad. Run after the pleasure, stay away from the pain. Like fasting, for example, it's a pain, but it's a good pain. It's pain that we should seek. But the ones who run away from pain, they would run away from fasting as well. And the one who go after pleasures, this is the why sometimes people are called, scholars are calling people that they worship their the god of pain and pleasure. So they do anything that causes pleasure, regardless of good or bad, and they stay away from anything that causes pain, regardless of it's good or bad. Okay, so that's why Jannah is called the place of Quds, or the land of Quds. The land of Quds, because it's pure from all problems, all deficiencies, all things that made the objects in this life, made them not good. Okay, now we are going to start testing. We're going to resume this video then.
Of any fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the concept of any shortcoming. And that's why He is the Quddus, the perfect one. Nothing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can imply to be weak. Or nothing that can imply on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reflects upon any shortcomings. And that's why He is the Quddus. And that's part of our aqidah as believers. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is so perfect beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension, beyond what we can even think of. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribed to Himself the attribute of Al-Quddus, the Holy One. So next time when you read the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quddus, reflect upon those meanings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everyone and everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the concept of weaknesses, shortcomings, or any other form of weakness and shortcoming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who understand the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla accept from us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that comprehension on the name of Allah azza wa jalla, the Quddus, and all the names of Allah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.
Perfectly pure, Azza wa Jal. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Al-Quddus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. That whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth is exalting Allah. Allah who is the sovereign, الملك, القدوس, who is the perfectly pure, العزيز, who is the exalted in might, الحكيم, the one who is ever wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus. And we see that this name occurs in two places in the Quran. Once in Surah Al-Jumu'ah and the other in Surah Al-Hashr, where several names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. Now, the name Al-Quddus, this is from the word, from the root Qaf Dal Sin, and Qadasa basically means to go far away. Okay? To go far away. And At-Taqdis, we see Taqdis is to be far removed, okay? To be far removed from what? From every impurity, every imperfection, and everything that is derogatory, okay? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is Al-Quddus, it means that He is far removed and He is free from every impurity, every imperfection, and everything that is derogatory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who? He is perfectly pure. And when you think about this root, you know, Qaddasa or Taqdis, think about, you know, Ruhul Qudus. Angel Jibreel is called Ruhul Qudus, meaning the pure spirit. Right? Think about Baytul Maqdis or Al Ardul Muqaddasa, meaning the land which is pure and holy. And this is the reason why Quds also means to be blessed. All right? It also means to be blessed. So some scholars, Mujahid and Qatada, both of them said that Al Quddus means Mubarak. Okay? Quddus means Mubarak, meaning the one who is blessed. So when you're thinking about the name Al-Quddus, think about two things, all right? First of all, perfectly pure. And secondly, blessed, okay? Meaning Mubarak, blessed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent, meaning He is far above any deficiency, right? Any dependency, and He is free from all imperfections. What does that mean? This means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any partner or any equal, okay? Because when you have someone who resembles you, then you lose your glory, right? We see that, you know, for example, if you have a competition between yourself and your sibling, for example, in regards to anything, then the moment, you know, they catch up with you, then you lose your glory and your authority. Having someone similar to you means that you're no longer, you're not special. There's nothing special about you. And this is the reality of the creation, right? That we as creation are such that there's nothing really that is unique about us. If we have knowledge, there are people who have more knowledge than us, right? If we're able to speak clearly, well, there are so many other people who are able to speak clearly, in fact, better than us. If we can draw art, you know, beautiful art, then there's great artists out there. So we as creation are imperfect, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, the only creator, He is Al-Quddus, meaning that He is above any deficiency, which means that He has no partner, He has no equal, and it means that He doesn't suffer from any deficiency. Right? Any deficiency, like, for example, any weakness of, you know, needing rest, needing sleep, or needing praise, or needing, you know, someone to assist or someone to help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any dependency, right? And He is free from all imperfections. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And when He is Al-Quddus, it means that He is only perfect. So any imperfection that you could ever imagine, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far from that. And a lot of times this happens that, you know, shaitan brings certain doubts about Allah. So for example, a person wonders, why did God do this? No, this is a bad thought that a person is entertaining about Allah. Any imperfection that you can think of for Allah, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that. He is above that. He is far removed from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only perfect. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, it means that He is the possessor of all blessings, meaning all barakah, all good things come from Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what is it that we should do? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what is it that we should do? First of all, this means that we should think only good of Allah. We should correct our thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should think only that which is good about Allah. And when shaitan casts doubts, right? Or when people say inappropriate, unbefitting things about Allah, say a'udhu billah. And save yourself, you know, move away from such conversations. Protect yourself from thinking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is only perfect, right? Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, it means that we should glorify Him. We should praise Him. As the angel said, that وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, right? That we glorify You and we sanctify You. Meaning that we celebrate Your praises, right? And this is something that we should also do. So this is why we're told in the Quran, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, right? That glorify the name of your Lord, because He is the highest. And this is something that we are encouraged to do over and over again. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ in his ruku' and in his sujood, he would say, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. So for example, when you're in ruku', you can say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ. And then you say, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. What does this mean? This means, سُبُّوح, O Allah, You are perfect. Quddus, You are perfectly pure. Rabbul Malaika, You are the Lord of the angels. Warruh, and also the Lord of Arruh, meaning Angel Jibreel. Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. So this can be said in sujood, it can also be said in sajda. So, and our tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our glorification of Allah should not just be limited to salah, right? It means that we should glorify and praise Allah throughout our lives, throughout the day, throughout the night. And we see that in the ayah that is quoted over here at the beginning, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ.